Hello and welcome to our site. I'm so glad to be back after 2 weeks' holiday. 10 days in the Kruger National Park. Saw 10 lion, 4 leopard, 1 cheetah, hundreds of elephant, and all sorts of other game. What a privilege to be in one of Africa's premier game parks and to be able to see so much of God's wonderful creation. Well, we now continue in our series, Biblical Answers to Vital Questions. And the vital question that I want to deal with today is, what do we mean by the providence of God? What do we mean by the providence of God? I'd like to take a reading from Psalm 23, such a well-known psalm, but so many people, I think, don't really realize that this is a psalm about the providence of God. David, the shepherd, says, "With the Lord as my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." What do we mean by the providence of God? The word providence does not occur in the Bible, but it is a word we use to point to or describe a biblical reality, like the word sovereignty, which doesn't occur in the Bible either, but it's a wonderful word to point to the reign or the rule of God. When we say God is sovereign, we mean he holds absolute sway, absolute rule over all, over everything that is, forever. God reigns over all. His reign is immutable and eternal, unassailable and unchanging. He alone is in total control over all that he has made. God reigns in wisdom, righteousness, and grace. He reigns with justice and mercy. All his divine attributes are brought to bear in the exercise of his sovereignty. And it means he has the right to do whatever he wants to do. And he has the power to do whatever he wants to do. But of course, he's too wise to make a mistake. He is too loving to err. An understanding of the sovereignty of God will lead us to a sense of our unworthiness, our sinfulness, our finiteness, our creatureliness. Like the prophet Isaiah, who saw the Lord enthroned in resplendent glory, we will also cry out, "Woe is me, for I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the Lord." When we understand the sovereignty of Almighty God, we are stripped of pride, and we will worship him in reverence and awe. God alone reigns, and he reigns over all. He is sovereign. When we speak of the providence of God, we are referring to the way in which God exercises his sovereignty, the way in which God sees to it that his all-wise purposes are fulfilled. May I repeat that? When we refer to the providence of God, we're referring to the way in which God exercises his sovereignty, the way in which God sees to it that all his wise purposes are fulfilled. Do you see the difference? The Heidelberg Catechism puts it like this. I quote, "The providence of God is the almighty, everywhere presence of God to oversee the fulfillment of all his wise purposes." End of quote. The providence of God, then, is the divine way in which God works out his ultimate will in all of life. God's personal, purposeful management with hands-on control. Proverbs 16 and verse 9 puts it this way, "In his heart a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps." In his heart a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. The providence of God. God in his providence. That's the melody that plays all through the Bible. God creates us free agents with the capacity to choose what we want to do. But in his providence, he so overrides our purposes that ultimately his purposes prevail. Without infringing on our liberty or relieving us of our responsibility, the Lord presides over all the affairs of the universe. He directs the free acts of people to fulfill his ultimate purposes. Friend, with our finite mind, we're totally incapable of fully understanding or explaining the providence of God, his wise and loving oversight in the fulfillment of his purposes. But we see his providence shining through in his plan of creation, his plan of salvation, and in his preservation. And we're left like the Apostle Paul in wonder, love, and praise. His doxology in his letter to the Romans, Romans chapter 11, verses 33 to 36. If you have a Bible, then just turn to that once again. Paul's letter to the church at Rome, the end of chapter 11, verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out! Who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him, and through him, and to him are all things. To him be the glory for ever and ever. God the Creator sustains all, preserves all, is personally operative in all, and directs all things to their intended end for his eternal glory. God oversees, governs, overrules. He is ever present. His will prevails. He does it his way. That's what the providence of God is. William Cowper put it so well in his immortal hymn, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise. Let me read that hymn to you. God moves in a mysterious way. This is the hymn that I'm referring to about God's providence. William Cowper, who often suffered depression, wrote this hymn in such a revelation of the providence of God. God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Deep in unfathomable minds of never-failing skill, he treasures up his bright designs and works his sovereign will. Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds ye so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessings on your head. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust him for his grace. Behind a frowning providence, he hides a smiling face. I love that. Behind a frowning providence, God hides a smiling face. His purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. Blind unbelief is sure to err and scan his work in vain. God is his own interpreter, and he will make it plain. So with this introduction, let's now be blessed as we unpack some of the realities of the providence of God. Are you ready? Reality number one, God's providence extends to the whole universe. The created order, God's universe, is the stage on which all his dealings with mankind are enacted. God is the only ultimate and absolute ruler, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Psalm 103 and verse 19, his throne is in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. The government of the entire universe is his. As King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon came to realize when he came to his senses. We read about that in the prophecy of Daniel, chapter 4. So if you have your Bible with you, turn with me now to the prophecy of Daniel in the Old Testament. and turn to chapter 4 and verses 34, 35, and 37. Daniel says at the end of time, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, says, and Daniel records it, Daniel chapter 4, verse 34. Do you have it there? At the end of that time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes toward heaven, and my sanity was restored. Then I praised the Most High. I honored and glorified him who lives forever. His dominion is an eternal dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the peoples of the earth are regarded as nothing. He does as he pleases with the powers of heaven and the peoples on the earth. No one can hold back his hand or say to him, "What have you done?" In verse 37, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and glorify the King of heaven, because everything he does is right, and all his ways are just. And those who walk in pride, he is able to humble. And as King Darius, king of Persia, came to realize, you'll turn over to Daniel chapter 6. And we read in Daniel 6, verses 26 and 27, these words from Darius, the king of Persia. The God of Daniel is the living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. All natural forces are in God's control. Psalm 29, the God of glory is enthroned and commands all the processes of nature. He commands the elements, Psalm 68 and verse 9, and his care extends to all his creatures, the birds of the air, the creatures on land, the fish in the sea. Not a sparrow flutters to the ground without God's knowledge. Ah, yes, the God of wise providence is the omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent God, the God who is all-knowing, ever-present, and all-powerful. William Cowper put it so well in one of his best-known hymns that I read to you earlier. God moves in mysterious way his wonders to perform. And so, as Jonah discovered, in his providence, God can appoint a stormy wind, a massive whale, and a slimy worm to perform his will. The universe at large and the entire physical material world is under God's providential control. But mankind is the crown of God's creation, created in his image and likeness. And so it stands to reason then, reality number two, God's providence extends not only to the entire universe, God's providence extends into the lives of all the people on the earth, the good, the bad, and the ugly. In his providence, God allows evil, but he ultimately overrules it for good. The worst of people, like Nero, Hitler, and Putin, are allowed to be exalted so that God's ultimate purposes can be fulfilled. He can harden the heart of a Pharaoh. He can soften the heart of a Saul of Tarsus. In the affairs of peoples and nations, rulers and slaves, God can put one down and exalt another. Sometimes he will step into the life of a repentant nation. Sometimes let a godless nation sow the wind and reap the whirlwind. In his providence, he is in control of all history. It is his story. He began it, and he will end it. God alone will finish the story that he began at the beginning of time, and at the end of time, he will providentially superintend all of eternity. But rest assured, history is his story. Without their knowledge of it even happening, he worked through Tiglath-Pileser, Isaiah 10, verses 6 and 7. He worked through Cyrus, Isaiah 41, 2. He worked through Artaxerxes, Ezra 7:21, without them even realizing what was happening, as God was working out his providential and sovereign purposes. In pursuing their own chosen path, these men served the furtherance of God's will, even though their lives were disobedient, self-willed, and sinful. God's providence reaches nations, and his providences reach all mankind. As the Apostle Paul told the Athenian philosophers on Mars Hill outside Athens in the first century AD, Acts 17, verses 24 to 28, quoting from one of their own poets, Paul said, "The God who made all things is not far from us. In him we live and move and have our being." Reality number one, then, God's providence extends into the whole universe. Reality number two, the providence of God extends into the lives of all people. Reality number three, the providence of God determines the time and place of our birth and our lot in life. Take a fresh look at Psalm 139, if you'll turn to it in the middle of your Bible. Psalm 139, look at verses 1 to 7. "O Lord, you've searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence?" The answer, nowhere. And drop down to verse 13, Psalm 139. "For you, God, created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." What an amazing psalm. What an amazing truth the psalmist is giving to us. Don't miss the truth of verse 16. "Your eyes saw my unformed body." The Authorized Version, "My body parts were fashioned by you before they came into being." What's going on here? Friend, what's going on here is your Creator drew a picture of you before you were even born. One of the famous Puritans put it this way, "You could have been a worm or a toad, but in the providence of God, you were born according to the picture the eternal God had in mind." The fact that you're a human being, born where you were born when you were born to the father and mother you had, all of that is purely due to the providence of God. You had no control over it whatsoever. Don't worry, be happy. I'm in the same boat. I had no control over my birth, and all I have and all I owe is to the providence of God. My times are in his hands. So is the day of my physical death. All our successes and failures come from the Lord who made us and gave us daily breath. Psalm 75, promotion comes from the hand of the Lord. So does demotion sometimes. Verse 7 of Psalm 75, God puts down one and sets up another. That's how the providence of God works. With God, nothing is accidental or incidental. His divine purposes are being worked out, day by day, moment by moment. God is never caught out or caught by surprise. Most of the time, only he understands what he's doing. It doesn't look like providence when Abraham is on his way to Mount Moriah to slay his son Isaac, the heir to the promise of worldwide blessing. It doesn't look like providence when Joseph is sold to the Midianite merchants ends up in an Egyptian prison. It doesn't look like providence when Jeremiah is thrown into a cistern, or when Judah goes into captivity, or Jerusalem and the temple are razed to the ground. It doesn't look like providence when James is martyred and Paul is imprisoned, but it is. As Cooper puts it in his hymn, "Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust him for his grace. Behind a frowning providence, he hides a smiling face." If you've never studied the life of Joseph, dear friend, why not study the life of Joseph in the second half of the book of Genesis, and you'll find an amazing story, a wonderful illustration of the providence of God. How he works in such mysterious ways his wonders to perform. The Bible teaches that the righteous owe their protection to the providence of God, just as the providence of God will see to it that the wicked are justly punished. So let's recap for a moment. Reality number one, God's providence extends to the whole universe. Reality number two, God's providence extends to all mankind. Reality number three, the providence of God determines our birth, our life, our death. And now here's where it gets so comforting. Reality number four. In the providence of God, he controls the affairs of his people, his children. As I said at the outset, Psalm 23 is actually a psalm about the providence of God. With the Lord as my shepherd, I shall not be in want, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. From birth to death, the providence of God is operative in the lives of his children. He delivers from trouble. He is with them when they are persecuted. He comforts them in their distress. He heals their diseases. He supplies their needs. Even if he doesn't heal, even if it seems he's not supplying their needs at the time, be sure God is quietly, providentially at work. He will accomplish his purposes. In New Testament language, Romans 8 and verse 28, God is at work in everything for the good of those who love him. In the providence of God, he uses every situation and circumstance of our life as Christians to make us more like Jesus. That's what Romans 8 and verses 28 and 29 mean. John Calvin put it this way, I think you'll love this, I quote, "The Christian solace is in this: God so holds all in his hands, so rules all in his wisdom, so governs all in his power, that I have nothing to fear." May I repeat that? The Christian solace is this: God so holds all in his hands, so rules all in his wisdom, so governs all in his power, that I have nothing to fear. With my faith in the God of providence, I can say every day, come what may, "All I do not know, Lord, you know, Lord, and that's all I need to know. All I do not know, you know, Lord, and that's all I need to know." Through the centuries, from the fall of Adam and Eve, the providential God has been at work. Sometimes the providence of God may subject us to darkness, friend, suffering, and mystery, even dreadful spiritual attack. Ask Job. But with Job, an understanding of the providence of God will enable us to say in the midst of unbelievable sorrow, He knows the way I take, and when He has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. I know that my Redeemer lives, and in the end I will see God. The persecuted Apostle John would add, and when we see him, we shall be like him. This is the radical teaching of the Bible, friend. The providence of God extends over all situations, in all places, but especially over his children. Final reality, reality number 5, the providence of God is seen supremely in the person and work of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. The providence of God is seen supremely in the person and work of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. See the providence of God in Jesus' genealogy and birth through the centuries, from the fall of Adam and Eve. God oversees even the squalid story of Judah's lust for Tamar, the harlotry of Rahab, the inclusion of a Moabitess, the adultery of Bathsheba, and the failure of kings. And God organizes the enthronement of Caesar Augustus in Rome and the reshuffling of rulers in Israel for the arrival of a baby in a manger in Bethlehem at the precise moment he ordained from all eternity. From Genesis 3:15, at the fall of Adam and Eve and the pronouncement of God's judgment, there was also the pronouncement of good news. The earliest gospel, the seed of the woman, will bruise the serpent's head. And all of history is God's amazing history. This providential God overseeing all of history, so that the exact moment of time, which God has ordained from all eternity, Jesus, is conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, and placed in a feeding trough, in a manger, in Bethlehem. And just so the entire work of Christ's atoning sacrifice on the cross, his resurrection from the tomb, and the birth and growth of the Christian Church from the day of Pentecost in the first century to Jesus' soon triumphant return as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, all of salvation history is overseen by the infant wisdom, power, grace, and justice of the providence of God. What do we mean by the providence of God? We mean God's gracious outworking of his plans in Christ for the ultimate good of all mankind, but especially for his bride, the Church. The providence of God is the most comforting doctrine in all of the Bible. Even as it seems, as in the case of Job sometimes, that God and Satan are working hand in glove, remember, friend, it's Satan's glove, God's hand. Immortal, invisible, God only wise, in light inaccessible hid from our eyes, most blessed, most glorious, the Ancient of Days, almighty, victorious, thy great name we praise, unresting, unhasting, and silent as light, nor wanting, nor wasting, thou rulest in might. Thy justice like mountains high soaring above, thy clouds, which are fountains of goodness and love. To all life thou givest, to both great and small, in all life thou livest the true life of all. We blossom and flourish as leaves on a tree, and wither and perish, but naught changeth thee. Great Father of glory, pure Father of light, thine angels adore thee, all veiling their sight. O Lord, we would render, O help us to see, 'tis only the splendor of light hideth thee. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Heavenly Father, and the comfort of the Holy Spirit be with you all evermore. Amen. God, who see our ways, hear us pray.